Happy anniversary. This album's celebrating an anniversary.
Kia ora, Sam.
Kia ora, Geneva. What's up?
Ah, yeah, just having a mean-ass time with the jewellery that Sarah has so lovingly shared with
us. It's fun.
Currently, Sam has a necklace hanging from his earlobe.
Yep. It's like those African ladies who have like
earlobes. Like they've stretched out the earlobes.
Yeah, true. Interesting what you can do with jewelry.
It's called fashion.
Okay, so today we're going to go back to 1985 we're going to look at Tears for Fears and their album Songs from the Big Chair, which is turning 35, so slightly older than us.
Hey.
Just by a few years.
Nice.
Of course, Tears for Fears, they were a synthpop / new wave band from a city in England called Bath.
Oh, nice.
Yes,
I like Bath.
Yes. And they formed in 1981 and they were made up of Roland Orzabal, Kurt Smith, Ian Stanley and Manny Elias. And they formed out of a band called History of Headache, which is a cool name, before changing the name to Tears for Fears, which actually was inspired by Primal Therapy, incidentally.
Right.
Yes. And although there were four of them, it really was Orzabal and Smith's group. They were the primary songwriters, the vocalists. Stanley and Elias were basically just the extra guys in the proceedings. And they had success from the get-go. Their debut single reached number 3, and their debut album, The Hurting, reached number 1 in the UK. So popularity and success came pretty much straight away for them, thanks to the whole new wave thing which was going on at the time in the UK. There were so many groups doing kind of synth-based pop, new wave, so people like Human League, Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark, Flock of Seagulls, Tears for Fears, obviously, New Order. So many good bands.
Yeah, totally.
So they fitted right into that kind of thing. And when it came to doing the second record, they were already kind of riding a massive wave of success, and it was really just seeing what they could do to continue that. So Songs from the Big Chair, it took on this big synth pop sound, big vocals, big choruses, lots of synths and drum machines and electric guitars. Very, very 80s sounding record, packed full of big pop hooks and, you know, just a big 80s sound, basically. And, they went out a bit of a commercial limb here and they didn't hold back in this regard. But at the same time, it's important to remember that it's not a cheesy album. It's very sophisticated songwriting. The arrangements are very sophisticated. They were absolute total musicians. They're not mugs. And I remember, of course, this is the 80s. There is a lot of cheese around at the time.
But I think in terms of something that's intrinsically like an 80s sound, it did age quite well.
Yeah, it did. And a lot of stuff from that period did not age very well.
And they've tried to do modern versions of Tears for Fears songs.
Like Weezer. Have you heard their version?
And Lord also did one for the Hunger Games trilogy or whatever.
Exactly. So,
so, you know,
they still recognize for that songwriting quality.
I still think that the original's better.
Absolutely. But, you know,
love you,
them's
Lord.
The breaks.
Whatever.
So,
get that money, girl.
On that note,
all right,
let's play the opening track and the second single. And this is a massive worldwide hit. It's obviously called Shout, and it remains one of their most popular songs, one of the big 80s hits. You'll probably find it on one of those 80s compilations you get in bargain bins.
Yes. So,
real groovy.
If you're in a bright room, make it as dark as possible. Maybe even sing it in the mirror yourself.
Shout, let it all out.
And if you're with someone, just have a really emotional dance
with each other. Get it out on a Monday. Release all that energy.
Even if you're in the office. Shot. Oh, there it is. There it is.
Shout, shout, let it all out.
That was Tears for Fears with Shout, our anniversary album for the week.
Shout, we're here
with Sam Smith. Yep. Hey, buddy.
I just love those kind of house music synths in the background, that that kind of thing. Just like, you know, it's like late, years and years later, that thing kind of went into house music, particularly in like Ibiza and those types of places.
Yes.
So that's quite interesting. Yeah.
Cool.
Should we play another track then?
I think
so. All right. Well, this one, it needs no real introduction, really. It's a massive song. Probably their signature song, one of the biggest songs of the 80s. And it was actually a last-minute addition to this album. It wasn't supposed to be on the record, but it ended up going to number one in five different countries. It is, of course, Everybody Wants to Rule the World.
Brilliant.
What a tune.
Yeah. For those of you who have just tuned in, we're currently doing anniversary albums with Sam Smith.
Welcome back to the edge.
No. We just got a text in. Someone thought that Sam might be suited to be on the edge or the coast, which is quite a lovely compliment.
I think it is a compliment, actually. But I don't think I'm wasted.
No. Oh, yeah. Well, you don't need to. You don't need to mention
but
that.
But thank
part.
You anyway.
Yeah, we all really love Sam here. We'd be sad if he went to another commercial radio station.
Fucking
hell. Anyway, but anyway, we're going to conclude our Tears for Fears anniversary
moving right
album.
Along. Yes. Should we talk about legacy and that kind
yes.
of thing? Yeah. Yeah. Well, obviously, this is like a massive, massive. Big album. It sold over 7 million copies. Went to number one in the United States, number two in New Zealand, number two in the UK. Couldn't really escape it. It was everywhere. Critics liked it mostly. They mentioned particular things like the songwriting and also the boldness of the sound. And obviously, since it came out, it's kind of remained an 80s classic. Slant magazine even voted it in their top 100 best albums of the 80s.
Oh, shot.
So there you go. And obviously, it was so big that actually they took a hiatus after this record. And Stanley and Elias actually left the group during that hiatus and never returned. So the band returned in 1989 as a two-piece. But then for 9 years, it was just Orzabal playing under the name Tears for Fears because he had a falling out with Smith. So that was sad, but he returned in 2000, and since then they've put out more music and continue to tour, although they haven't released an album in about 16 years. But they remain very popular amongst music fans, particularly music fans of the 1980s, and they're riding that 80s gravy train all the way to the bank.
Yes, yes, yes.
Because a lot of 80s acts seem to be coming down these ways recently.
Yeah.
Is anyone going to Rick Astley and Aha?
Ah, yeah, Texan 5395.
That's coming up. Billy Idol's here this weekend, I think, as well.
I actually got a request for some Billy Idol, so I might play it a little bit later.
See, the 80s, you can never kill it.
Yes.
It'll be still here when the cockroaches are left.
Well, the 80s, I mean, we were born from the 80s.
Pretty much, yep.
Yeah.
There you go.
The influences.
It's strong. It's very strong. So let's, on that note, finish with our final track. I think this could be my favourite Tears for Fears song. It's called Head Over Heels, and it's the fourth single released from the record. And although it wasn't as big a hit as the other two tracks we played, it still managed to crack the top 40 in 9 different countries. So there you go.
Yes. Thank you so much, Sam.
No worries.
And I'll see you in a couple of weeks. I'm going to be away.
Oh, you are?
Yes.
Oh, you'll see me in 3 weeks because Laneway is the following week.
Oh.
Just
happy anniversary to that album. Happy anniversary.